I can sit, stand, don't matter. Okay. Hi, my name is Erica, and I'm a great recovering addict.
Hi, Erica.
I'd like to thank the God I'm understanding for allowing me to be at this meeting. Because this is a meeting. This is Westchester Area's first convention. Let's give a hand for Westchester Area. I can't sit down. I remember somebody saying to me one time, somebody's going to come and tap you on your shoulder and ask you to speak at a convention. And here I am, right? I'd like to thank the committee for giving me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I also need to say, I keep hearing this Tito guy. Tito. My name is Erica. My name is Erica. Very newcomer. Tito, that's my brother. That's my cousin. All right, the topic that I was given, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will.
Come on.
They go hand in hand.
Yep.
Come on. They go hand in hand, you know. I know, like, drugs played a major part. It was a major problem in my life from the day I could remember. You know, drugs was in my household very early on. You know, drugs, alcohol, you know, the card playing, the old-timey music, all of that. I was introduced to the drug life and the lifestyle from the age I can remember. You know, I'm nervous.
It's all right.
And like my older sister, look, I didn't come from an all bad family. You know, my mom's taught me morals, values, taught me how to clean a house, brush my teeth, groom myself, take care of myself. You know, she taught me those things. But at the same time, in early development, there were some other things that was happening in my household. You know what I mean? You know, in early development, it's real difficult for a child because a child's going to believe what she sees. You know, and as I was growing up, right, my oldest sister raised me. And my oldest sister was a wino. She was an alcoholic. We call her alcoholic. I know back then. She was a wino. She drank nitrate and Thunderbird. Right? And I was like 2 years old, 3 years old, right? And she used to take me around her friends. I thought they was funny as hell. Little did I know later on in life that they were drunk. They were drunk, right? I remember my older sister and my mother fighting. At the age of 3, I was molested, right? So like from the age of 3, I connected with a feeling. I didn't know later on in life that I was molested. I know at the age of 14, right? This seems like when everything started happening. I had my first boyfriend. My first boyfriend, he taught me how to do fellatio. That means sucking penis. You understand? I got introduced to men because I had the body. I started hanging out in bars. You understand? I started modeling in fashion shows. The men started doing this to me. So the lifestyle and the drugs, the marijuana, I was smoking marijuana from home. My mother gave me the okay to use drugs. She said she'd rather see me do it in the house than on the street. Right there told me, look, I'm grown. I'm grown. And I ended up in the fast life. You know, I started going to this camp at age of 13, right? I was scared to death. I'm going to tell you why I was scared to death, because I wasn't raised in the projects. You understand? And I have nothing against it, but this is my story, right? I grew up in a good neighborhood. I went to school, me and my younger sister. When we came home, we took off our school clothes and we played in the backyard. But my mother needed to work. And she needed to put some food on the table for us to eat and keep a roof over our heads and put clothes on our back, right? So she sent us to this camp. Carver Center, yeah. I got some Portchester heads up here, right?
Come on.
She sent me to Carver Center, and my God, that first day I cried like a baby because I was scared. I was scared of what I was getting ready to get involved in. That's where the fast money was going. People were selling drugs. Girls were selling their ass. People were smoking crack. People were smoking reefer. You know, I got introduced to this lifestyle that was better than I got treated at home. You know, because the way I got treated at home was I was teased. I was told I was ugly. I didn't have the same father. You understand? I was molested. I grew up very angry, very confused, and couldn't decipher in my mind which way was right or wrong. I didn't know how to trust nobody. My mother lied to me when I asked her who my father was. You know, like I said, my older sister provided for me, so she started whispering, "He's not your father." So, like, I started shutting down very early. I started suppressing feelings. I started not telling. Wait, first of all, I didn't like to express myself because my mother always told me to be quiet. So, like, I really never knew how to express myself. I used to write letters to my mother, circle yes or no, communication dead. So, like, when I started hanging out in the street, selling dust at the age of 14, yo, I felt like I fucking arrived because people liked me now. People was coming to me. People was giving me attention, attention that I did not get at home. You understand? Like, I felt like, listen, this is the lifestyle, this is the fucking way of life that I was connected to. These fucking topics we get sometimes, we got to share the exact truth. This is the way of life that I became adapted to. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. You understand? The light, the limelights. Little did I know, my father was standing right in that bar where I modeled, where I hung out at. And he couldn't say a word to me because my mother told him not to tell that you're her father. So this man watched my life go down the fucking drain and he couldn't say nothing. So, like, listen, I started sexing it up. You understand? I started smoking weed. I was drinking Old English. I was drinking pink champagne. You know what I mean? I would take my 40 ounce of Old English, put two straws in a fucker bag. You know what I mean? I had to get some tough skin on the street. I didn't have no brothers. I had nobody to protect me. You understand? So this girl slapped the shit out of me. I was playing Pac-Man in the arcade. In the arcade room. And, like, she bullied me. She smacked the shit out of me. From that day, not another motherfucker would smack me again. Because that was the other way of life that I got connected to. Because I had to protect myself. Because I didn't trust you. You was gonna fucking hurt me. See, all these feelings from how I was treated at home came right along with the lifestyle. The drugs just magnified it. It made me a fucking animal. How dare you ain't gonna do shit to me. You understand? And that was my way of protecting me. That was my way of keeping you away from me. I fight a fucking man. But see, I was already angry with them. I was angry with them and I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I had no identity, no clue how I felt about men. And it wasn't to my doing. I was an innocent child. But as I grew up, this is what happened. You know, I smoked a lot of crack. I started smoking crack. That's not the end of the story. That's the fucking story. You understand? I started smoking marijuana. I was drinking Old English. Any fucking kind of alcohol you gave me, I drank it. You understand? I tried to commit suicide. I took pills. You know, I sniffed dope. I sniffed fucking cocaine. I smoked dust. I put it all the fucking together. And lost my motherfucking mind. You know, the life that I lived was animalistic. I stopped washing my ass. I dropped out of school in 12th grade. 4.5 more credits to graduate. I graduated from smoking crack. I had to keep running. I robbed my mother. I fucked almost. I ain't fucked Joey and Chuck. I fucked damn near every. every man in Portchester. I was young. I was fragile. I was naive. And when I started smoking that crack, though, I remember crying because I wanted to hit so bad. I would stay in one spot, holding still with my fucking teeth. That's probably why I got a new pair now. You understand? And I tell you, I felt lower than low. I felt degradation, dereliction at 17. I knew I had made a mess of my fucking life. My mother never believed anything I said. When I told her I almost got raped, no, you didn't, you're lying. Here we go again, that trust. She never fucking believed anything I fucking said. I'm telling you, I'm grateful for this program of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't stay in the drug log too long. You understand? I am so grateful that I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous when I did. You know, I got introduced to recovery when I was 16 in other programs. It ain't that they didn't work. It was an introduction for me getting my life together. You understand? It's funny how we come into recovery and we think all of a sudden we clean and them life, ways of life stop. Absolutely not. I came in this program fucking people up. Really fucking myself up. I kept people away from me. You understand? I was very angry. I didn't trust you. You know, I had to keep my dukes up at all times. You said something wrong to me, I had to fight. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to tell you hurt me. I didn't know how to say, would you forgive me? I didn't know how to say, can you help me? But you guys identified. You guys identified with that fear, that resentment, that anger. You guys loved me until I learned to love myself. You understand? You guys embraced me. You understand? You carried me. I'm so grateful for this program. Who brought a monster into a human being? Who brought a little girl into a fucking woman? I still suffer. I still go through situations, but they ain't lasting that long.
Shit.
I got a program, right? I got the steps in my life. I'm not perfect. These steps don't make us perfect. They give us the admission. I admitted that I'm a fucking addict. Then I had to accept who I was,
right,
who I am. You understand? And like, yo, I became aware of some stuff and I applied to action.
Right.
Not only did I come in here fighting people, you know about the men thing, right? I was always number two. Never had a father. My first boyfriend, he was my boyfriend, but I wasn't his girlfriend. You understand? Every time the phone rang, I sat, twiddling my fingers, waiting for that phone to ring. And every time it rang, here we go. I fell in love with him for 3 years. I was just infatuated. You remember Vince, right?
Damn.
3 years. And it wasn't all that. I became obsessive and compulsive with the idea that he loved me. I became obsessive and compulsive that he needed me. For the first time, somebody wanted me. But he really didn't. That was just an illusion. In my head, in my mind, that because my father wasn't there, he didn't love me. I didn't even know who the fuck he was. By the time I became 23, that's when I was introduced to my father. It was too late by then. It was too late. I done sold my soul to men. I done prostituted. I ain't prostitute. I gave my shit away. You understand? I gave it away. You know how they say, I'm going to give you a hit? I was fucking giving my shit away to another crackhead. It scraped the fucking shit with a sheetrock or whatever. Got me thinking that I'm going to get high. Got beat every fucking time. I did the same thing when I came in here. I sold my soul. You understand? Like the behaviors continue. continue. I just got busted fucking around with somebody's husband. I wasn't sneaking around. I was doing what I felt was right, what I always connected myself to. Somebody else's. Right? I ain't ashamed of it. The wife asked me. I told her, I apologize. I didn't mean it. You understand? So like, listen, I'm glad it's over. I don't ever want to feel the pain that I felt. I don't ever want to feel the pain that I felt. It felt just like I used a fucking drug. I don't want somebody else's. Matter of fact, I don't want no fucking body else right now. I need to sit still.
There you go.
Amen.
But like, listen, it ain't fucking over. Whew. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to share about what I need to share about, and I'm going to keep on fucking showing up, because I ain't the first one, it won't be the last. But it will be the last time that I fuck with him. Because a lot of times, just like the beginning of my life, of my introduction to the bar, right? I was always pursued. I ain't playing the victim. But I was always, you better watch out who the fuck be watching you. That's when I gotta learn how to stop. I gotta stop before I get caught. I remember when I went into a shelter, motherfucker gave me a pack of cigarettes. I was in love. Low self-esteem. No self-esteem. No identity. You understand? Didn't care about myself. Why should I? Not the life that I lived. I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I came back in January 2000, and this has been the best thing that ever happened to me, because I did some different shit this time. I allowed myself to get naked. I allowed myself to go inside to the core. I allowed people to help me.
Come on.
Even with the fighting, the screaming, the hollering, the fighting in the business meeting, I ain't doing this shit no more. Fuck y'all motherfuckers. Motherfuckers beating me up in the meeting because I was trying to fight for what's mine. I gave them my time, my life, my blood, my tears, my money, every motherfucking thing. My friends had to do an intervention on me because I was caught up in the grips again. Not by drugs, by a disease of addiction, which is mental, spiritual, right, and physical. Yo, when it comes to the fucking mind, we look at this with a minimal amount of concern. The brain's a motherfucker. Fuck the thinking upside down. This shit had me twisted. That's why I gotta pick up the phone and call somebody. And I gotta tell somebody what I'm thinking. Half the time I ain't thinking, I'm fucking feeling, doing all kinds of shit. I don't ever want to live like I lived yesterday. I don't ever want to repeat what I did yesterday. Right? I stand before you, right? I'm real grateful. I'm real happy.
That's right.
I love myself in spite of the things that I do. I can be crying about it now. Pick up the phone, I'm laughing about it. Shit just don't bother me like it used to anymore. You know, I'm glad to be standing here. Yesterday I had surgery, right?
Wow.
This is like the 10th one. God is taking care of me. I've seen other people go through stuff in here. God is taking care of me. Like, listen, I don't ever want to live the life that I lived. I continue to work this program. I have a God of my understanding, right? And he helps me every time. Is that the bell? What is that? Somebody's going, put my phone off. Y'all know you've been here long enough. You ain't newcomer, so you ain't got no yellow sign. Now cut that phone off. Listen. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. If you knew, right, give yourself a break. If you high right now, welcome to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The war is over. Right? Make 90 meetings in 90 days. Get yourself a sponsor. Come early, stay late. Let us love you until you learn to love yourself, right? Listen, this has been the most, this is the best thing that ever... Anybody smoking today? All that shit is over. Put my motherfucking shirt down. Nah, but listen, for the newcomer, listen, keep coming back, man. We love you. I am so grateful to be a part of this Westchester area for giving our first convention. So listen, the one thing that I don't do is I don't use. And I just don't say, long as I don't use, I'll be all right. I gotta say, long as I don't use and recover. Long as I don't use and do something different. Long as I don't use and talk to somebody to help me save my life. Because we get caught up in that shit, long as I don't use. No, long. Yeah, I be fucking them up too, Jerry. Would you please be quiet? My team, tell your boy. Tell your boy. Tell your boy. Anyway, right? Listen, I'm real grateful. I'm glad to be here. And, now I'm going to pass it to Tito.
At this time, to share the experience with the home, we have Tito from Norwalk, Connecticut.
McGrace for Recovering Addict, my name is Tito.
Tito.
I want to thank God for waking me up this morning. Right? Somebody didn't get up this morning. Somebody didn't come home last night. Somebody's stuck in a crack house right now. Somebody's still on the methadone line. Somebody's still on the block. Waiting for that person to come back with his $5. So grateful. So grateful. I want to thank Erica for kicking it off. I want to thank the Westchester for asking me to come here and share my experience, strength, and hope. Like, you know, the first convention, right? Like, they put a lot of pressure on you. Right? Like, we got people like Jerry to go around talking about other people. Yo, my boy is this. You know, like, they put pressure on you, man.
That's right.
Like, my topic.
Come on. Yeah, Tito. Tell us the truth. Yeah, Tito.
Like, being clean and living dirty.
Yeah,
Tito. I'm like, yo, Papa, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, can we, like...
Telling truth.
I'm like, can you let me run a little bit longer?
Telling truth.
Can you let me cause a little more fucking havoc in my life?
Uh-huh.
Like, can you let me fill a spiritual void with a spiritual stuff a little longer?
Wow.
Like, God, I'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. Like, listen, I'm not going to tell you about being clean and living dirty. Right? I'm not going to give you my story from when I was using. Right? Like, we get to Narcotics Anonymous and we get another story.
Please.
Like, can you come to a damn meeting with 19 years, 9 months, 16 days, and tell somebody you fucking living dirty? Right? Because I got a disease. It checks in every now and then.
That's right.
Right? To find out if staying clean is paying off. Like, check it out. I went to the literature, right? I went to the literature and I said, well, let me do some homework. But this is a fucking topic, ain't in the literature. This is a motherfucking topic where you gotta come from here. Like, listen, I gotta expose myself. I gotta tell you the true nature of my addiction. I gotta tell you about me creeping at 3 o'clock in the morning with 19 years clean. Listen, I'm talking about we're gonna get the folk come on me. What you doing? Huh? Newcomer! Use it! I got $20. You wanna get high?
Better say that.
I'm talking about me! I'm talking about being in a fucking one of them broth houses paying for some fucking sex! I'm talking about somebody coming to meetings talking all this Gucci shit. Quoting the literature. Having sponsees. Doing step work. Right? Telling you, check it out. Check it out. In the 11th step and the 12th second talks about being righteous. It talks about pointing out your character defects. Because I don't have none. Because my shit has been arrested. Like, check it out. The disease of addiction are manifesting your life in other areas that ain't got shit to do with drugs. We come to fucking meetings and we talk about, I ain't used today. Motherfucker, you ain't used no drugs today. But get honest, what the hell you been using? I'm talking about my disease to back me into a damn corner that I can't get out unless I use. I've been there. I'm coming in talking about that the steps have started transformation in my life, right? It'll take me from the person I used to be to the person God always intended me to be. But how am I really living when you ain't watching me? That's what I'm talking about. Listen, I gotta expose the true nature of where the fuck I've been at. Because something happens in recovery when you start this shit. You ever fucking been in a place that you don't wanna be in? You ever start doing shit that you wanna say no but you say yes? Like shit don't feel comfortable no more. Like my topic and hers, like listen, the lifestyle. I don't want to be there no more. Sometimes I feel comfortable being uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm familiar being in some pain. They told me, Tito, listen, you either gonna get with God now or you gonna get with him later. But you gonna get with him. Something happens in my life, listen, when you become obedient. When you just don't start practicing the step, but you start living the fucking step. I don't want to be where I'm at no more. They told me, listen, Tito, listen. Hey, if you hang out in a barbershop, sooner or later you're going to sit in the chair and get a haircut. Like, I don't want to do the things I'm doing no more. They no longer feel the emptiness inside of me. Like, I don't want to be creeping at 2 o'clock in the morning no more. They say hurt people hurt people. Like, listen. I don't want to be there no more, man. I don't even like who I've become. I'm talking about doing step work, doing sponsor work, doing all this good shit, sharing, you know, taking my good ass, sharing all over the goddamn place. Sharing with people, telling them what I think they want to hear. I found out that freedom ain't free. And I got to uncover in order to recover. I got to expose the true nature of my addiction. Listen, like in the first step, they're talking about that the drugs have the power to turn us into somebody we don't want to be. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like Dr. Jekyll died and you're left with Mr. Hyde. Phew. Listen, ain't this? I've been doing some work the last 5 months, right? Listen, I am not talking about no surface work here. I'm talking about some internal work. I'm talking about that I'm no longer filling a spiritual void with unspiritual stuff no more. I'm talking about, listen, I don't have the kind of power to remove people from my life. But God knows, right, that He'll move certain people from my life because everybody can't travel on the same road where He's taking me. Ain't nothing wrong with these people. But He's taking me somewhere. But before I get there, He's preparing me. I no longer ask why. But let's go. See, because when the pain becomes greater than the pleasures, you start to do something about some shit in here. Listen, I don't have phony friends no more, man. I'm tired of motherfuckers hugging me and stabbing me in the back at the same time. I'm tired of going to fucking meetings and sharing them motherfuckers leaving the meeting and talking about me after they leave. I'm tired of that. So God said, listen, we're going to take you someplace. I need you to do some work. I need you to work on self. Yeah. Right? Like some things are happening in my life. Right? Like we've come to practice, right? Check it out. Like practicing some spiritual principles, right? Like some forgiveness.
Yes, you
know. Right? Like, can you forgive somebody that done some shit to you? Or do you just come to a goddamn meeting and talk about you forgiving people? Actually practicing the spiritual principle of forgiveness. Right? Like check it out. You told me, right? Take this stuff and practice it outside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? It's easy when I come in here and hug you and kiss you and talk about my shit with you. Or when you fuck say something bad to me that I catch a resentment, right? I can still hug you. Right? But can I take those same principles and take them home? Can I take, listen, let me share with you where I came from, alright? You want to know about Tito? I'm going to tell you where the fuck I've been at for the last 4 years, right? Like I got to Narcotics Anonymous, right? And I got in, I'm married. Got married at the age of 20. Right? I saw her coming down. My disease spotted her. Like she was a fucking angel. I was fucked up too. Oh yeah. Yo, you got the one on the left. I got this one. Spotted her, 15 years old. Addiction. Cunning enemy of life. Motherfucker telling me, yo, that's her. She's gonna save your life. She's gonna stop you from using drugs again. I bought into the plan. The whole plan. I jumped in it head first. I said, hell yeah. I talked to her, met her. Like, I had to come back to New York. She stayed in Puerto Rico. Like, we on the phone. Valentine come around. And you know, like us fucking addicts, we do things to the extreme. Like, Jerry, we do shit to the extreme. I send her a fucking chocolate, Federal Express the motherfucker too. Right? A chocolate heart candy, like digging in the fucking table, eh? With some roses and all that shit. Like, I'm in love. Yo, mama, I've been talking, I'm coming to get you.
Right?
Yo, I'm on my way. I'm bringing my little sister with me. Backup. Right? Some backup. I'm in love. My father said, where you going? I said, I'm going to PR to get my woman. Right? He said, oh, hell no. I said, what you mean? He said, that's not how it's done. I said, Pop, I've been talking to her. I'm going. I got the ticket. He said, hell no. You got to go ask her mother for her hand in marriage. I said, you fucking crazy. I said, you got to be my Pop, I'm from fucking New York. We don't ask nobody's mother for hand. No, you ain't in New York when you been over there. You in Puerto Rico. They have shotgun weddings. I said, all right, I was locked and loaded. I was gone. I should have known something was up. My fucking mother said, yeah, take the bitch. She ain't no fucking good anyway. She don't clean, she don't cook, she's dirty. Love is blind. You don't see, you don't hear. All you heard was take the bitch. We was out the next morning. Let's go. Shit. A fucking disease took off. I didn't know I took a hostage. Didn't even know it.
Disease done. Real.
Had no clue. Hostage. I'm talking about she held the fort down for the first 7 years of our marriage. Like my disease, it's like I said, like she was supposed to be the savior of my. My disease took off. We got married. Big fucking wedding. I thought I was in love. My disease was painting me a hell of a picture. Listen, my plan, like my plan was working. I was in full force of it, boy. We were going. I became a damn drug dealer under marriage. Drug dealer. Like I became my best customer. At the end, I was my only customer. It's fucking crazy. It was insane. But she was a trooper. She held the fort down. Listen, no matter what, I would go on a 4 or 5 day run. Come home, she would be waiting. Like, I'm just glad you're home, you all right. Wow. I ain't give a hell. Baby, I won't do it again. Just to go on another run. Craziness, man. And no, and check it out. Unfaithful like a motherfucker. I'm faithful like, listen, what? Shh. And she was a trooper. Faithful to the bone. She was there all the time. Like, she even dressed up the disease. Hey, check it out. She didn't want nobody to know that her man was fucked up, so she would dress him up. Like you see my rib cages. But she was dressing me up. so I wouldn't look that bad. I didn't even know I was looking bad. My disease is, listen, my like denial ain't a goddamn river in Egypt. But my damn denial was so goddamn thick that like I would look in the mirror like this. Papi, you got it going on, Papi. Crazy, man. Faithful. Right? Like I'm talking about a marriage that I worked on, right? Like I held her hostage and didn't even know it, but like I had trust in her. Like I had that like my lady's different than all these other girls.
Wow.
Like I ain't got a chain on her. Like I ain't gotta come up to say, yo, why you wearing that shirt as a skirt? I didn't have that kind of relationship because I trusted her. Like you could go wherever you go and I know that you're not that kind of girl. Somewhere along the line, something went wrong. Something went wrong. Like I got introduced to this shit called crack. I was never home. I was always down the street at the crack house. Tito, come on out. I know you up in there. You've been there for 3 days. When you coming home? I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, man. Right? Like in 1991, right? I got introduced to some people like myself, right? I got introduced to some steps and all that shit, right? And my life started changing. Like, listen, change happens with or without your permission when you get here. Like, it won't knock on your door and say, yo, this is change. I'm coming in. Can we gonna do some stuff? No. It starts automatically when you stop using drugs. Somewhere along the line, I got lost. Like you told me to make Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like it becomes a way of life. I'm living the spiritual principles, right? I'm sharing good. I'm living clean. I'm doing all the things that like the program asks me to do. Sometimes, listen, sometimes we do shit in recovery, right? Like, because it's naturally done. Like in my 7 year, I lost the job that I had because I was stealing time. Didn't even know that it was it was natural. I was doing my job until they fired my ass. I took over, we got off state, we did all the things like you're supposed to be doing from the beginning. Like my sponsor would tap me in the back, yo sponsor, listen, I just took my wife and the kids off of the state, right? Looking for a tap in the back, he's like, you should have been doing that shit from the beginning. I started to do all that shit, right? Like check it out. I moved from the ghetto and I moved to the suburbs. Like God and Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to purchase a house, right? And I'm raising my kids and I'm doing the shit that like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Something happened in the process. Like my marriage. Right? Like, because I'm doing the right things and I'm living the right way, and all of a sudden, right? Like, she wasn't home as much as she used to be. She was going out all of a sudden, all the time. Coming coming home at 2 or 3 in the morning. And like, I'm okay because I know who I got. I know the type of woman she is. But like, my gut was telling me something different. Like, check it out. I found myself creeping through her shit. Like, going through the closet and her drawers and like...
Go ahead.
Where the fuck she get these drawers from? I've never seen these motherfuckers. Man, these motherfuckers like... Like at 2 o'clock in the morning, like... Creeping, looking through the window, waiting for her to come home, but not saying nothing. Listen, you gotta watch what you ask for, Narcotics Anonymous. I said, God, please reveal some shit to me. Please, God, I just can't listen. I can't continue this no more. Please reveal some stuff to me. My sponsor said, watch what you ask for, man. You just might not be ready for it.
That's right. Say that.
So I asked him, please, I can't take it no more. And like, listen, my disease wouldn't allow me to come to meetings and tell you what was going on in my life. Like, my sponsors would call me and I wouldn't even pick up the phone. And God said, okay, we're going to reveal some shit to you. You asked for it, you want it, you got it. Phone call at my job. 8 o'clock in the morning. You got a minute? I'm resentful as a motherfucker. Not really. But what you got to say? I'm pissed off. Just want to call her names and shit. But I'm at work. I can't talk like that. I just want to let you know something. Uh-oh. I'm hoping to say to myself, I'm hoping this bitch is asking me for a separation or divorce and all that shit. I'm pregnant. You what? I'm pregnant. Fuck you pregnant, you ain't been fucking me? Hung up the phone. Now where your good ass, your good sharing ass is at now? Now can you really, really dig deep and apply the spiritual principles of this program? Right? Now we'll show where your character's really at. Right? Like I want to call all types of names and all kinds of shit. Right? And it went on for what? Until my sponsor brought me back down to earth. Right? Because like, check it out. When you doing shit, it's cool. Or it's cool when you doing the shit. When you fucking with somebody else's shit, right? When you hurting somebody, it's good. But when they do it to your ass, you don't like it.
Well,
you don't like that shit. My sponsor had to remind me. Yo, remember when you did? Remember my sponsor said, remember, motherfucker, I did a 4-step with you. And a 5th, right? Remember when you did this? Right? I said, yeah. Did she kick your ass out? Did she turn you out? Did she turn her back on you? Right? But you don't understand. No, what do you mean I don't understand? The roles are just reversed. Mm-hmm. Right? Like what? Like check it out. She's not even in recovery. She applied the spiritual principle of forgiveness. Right? Because she forgave you. Right? So I'm living with this thing. Even today. Like I'm trying my best. like it's a marriage of 27 years, so I'm trying my best, right? Like to clean up my side of the street, right? Like it's God's will, not mine, right? Like whatever happens, I know that I did the best that I could. That I tried everything that I could. Right? But when that happened, it was like a void left in me. Right? I started to fill that shit up with unspiritual stuff. That's the first thing, like I turned to something that made me feel real comfortable, right? And when the Arabia wore off, I was left with the ugly side of addiction. It ain't fun, man. Like, I want to thank the Westchester Convention for asking me to come down here today and, like, free myself. Right? Like, truly, truly free myself. Yep. Right? From the bondage and the chaos that I created. Like, free. I am free today and I'm so happy, man. I am so happy. So I want to thank the convention for asking me to come down here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm grateful for coming out again.
Love you, Tito. Thank
you. You hope to be in.